Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Seen a wave of anti-LGBTQ bills. More than 525 have been introduced in 41 states, many of them specifically targeting our transgender youth. Some bills seek to ban gender-affirming care, while others are designed to dictate what sports kids can play or what bathrooms they can use.
This is Senator Dick Durbin in a hearing, it really wasn't that the Senate held, Judiciary Committee, if I remember correctly, that they held last week, and it was very interesting. We'd already played some of the clips between John Kennedy and one of the interviewees about, you know, whether women have any natural advantage in sports. She was definitively shown to be wrong by Riley Gaines, the swimmer who was in this this hearing. Very, very interesting stuff. I finally got around to listening to all of it, about 2.5 hours. You know, that's what I do. I just sit around and listen to these hearings. First of all, you know what struck me about this? It had never quite struck me before, is that the categorization of laws and or sentiments or actions as being anti-LGBTQ, that's a weird category. And the reason I say that is because the various things that those letters stand for are not all the same in terms of sort of philosophically what they represent. You know, for example, L and G, right? You know, homosexual, right? Male, male, or female, female. They're very different from, for example, T. Even B, like bisexual, is still very different from T for trans, right? And when they say that they're these anti-LGBTQ bills or anti-LGBT or pick your initials that they're going to use, the point is, a bill that is, for example, let's say anti-gay, okay, there aren't all that many bills like this, but let's say that you had a bill that tried to say that marriage is between a man and a woman only. Okay, they would classify that as an anti-LG bill, right? That's not the same as being anti-trans, right? A bill that, or categorized as such, like a bill that says that, you know, people who are born with male anatomy ought to use the men's bathroom, for example. That's an anti-trans bill. If you happen to have a bill that was anti-T, again, I'm using their language, that's not the same as being anti-LG or B. And the only reason I bring this up is because there's a fairly, I would say at this point in American cultural history, a fairly well-established idea that being anti-gay is somehow wrong or regressive or repressive or inappropriate or in some cases even illegal, right? Because you have anti-discrimination statutes that have been passed in order to protect homosexual either behavior or orientation or both, okay? And because that's well established, the tactic sort of philosophically of the people who are in favor of expanding transgender presence, acceptance, and legal protection in our society have, I think, very smartly but very inappropriately taken the approach of, well, anything against one letter of the acronym string is against all of the letters of the acronym string. But it's not the same. Bills that are bills that express a frustration or an intolerance towards, you know, people going through transition using the different bathroom, or, you know, men competing in women's sports because they've gone through a transition or say they have, that's not the same as saying that, you know, men should only marry men or that two women should not be able to adopt a child. Those are different categories. But it's smart, if you're pushing trans activism, to try to categorize bathroom bills, sports bills, pronoun bills, as if they are in the same category as being anti-gay. Because, again, Americans have generally accepted the proposition that, you know, even if you don't particularly personally like it, gayness is okay, it's protected, it's good, you shouldn't talk about it. And so they want to borrow on the cultural power of the pro-gay sentiment in criticizing bills that are anti-trans. And it's just, it's interesting how they slop these things together. And, I mean, you know, there's distinctions between all of these things. Like, for example, people often talk about being born gay, right? And, you know, we've talked about this, you know, whether it is something you're born with, something that is developed over time, something that can or cannot be changed. I think it's silly to talk about it as something that's purely chosen, as if somebody wakes up on a Thursday and decides they're going to like men instead of liking women. I mean, that's silly. And because it's silly, that's the alternative to that is not something that anybody really advocates. But anyway, but trans is not like that. I mean, you cannot say that somebody is born trans. The whole point of being trans is that you weren't born with the gender that you identify with, and you then try to, you know, intercede bodily or hormonally in a way to try to change very dramatically what you were born as. And so they're all lumped together largely because they are against sort of traditional morality or traditional beliefs about gender, and also because there's a sense in which, as being outcasts or disfavored or marginalized, there's a solidarity among all of the different groups that the letters represent. But they are very different things. And so it's just, again, I'm a philosopher, so sloppy categories make me uncomfortable, and all of these are not in the same category. Moving on. Dick Durbin continues, Senator from Illinois.
Yes.
Oh, they watched a video of a dad who, you know, said that it was really hard for him to accept that his, I think, born son became daughter, I think is who he was talking about. But in any case, you know, kind of a emotionally moving testimony about how laws that protect people like his child are important, and laws that punish or discourage or disfavor people like his child are very evil and ought to be changed.
You saw the video of the Missouri father. Does he sound like a radical who is trying, anxious to experiment with his child's future? Not to me. He sounds like a father who resisted acknowledging the real condition of his child until he realized he was wrong. I'm sure it was a painful, labored process and journey, but he is convinced he did the right thing for his transgender daughter.
There you go. Transgender daughter, born a male, identified as a female, and then transition. Interesting note. And by the way, this is something that I think people who are more against the acceptance of transgender individuals will often neglect to mention, but it's got to be awful. I mean, it's got to be awful to feel like you're in the wrong body. It's got to be awful to watch your child feel like they're in the wrong body. You know, whether you categorize that as a legitimate, you know, malorientation towards the body that therefore ought to be changed, or whether you view that as some kind of a, you know, mental incapacity or disorder, gender dysphoria, that's not the point. All I'm saying is it's got to be horrible to be the person experiencing it, and it's got to be horrible to be the parent of somebody experiencing that. And so the pain that you hear him talk about, that's real. And sometimes I think people who want to pass the, you know, bathroom bills to restrict or sports bills to restrict don't do enough of a job of acknowledging the reality of the pain. You can acknowledge that somebody is suffering or uncomfortable or in anguish without then endorsing the solution that they're wanting, but you should acknowledge the reality of the pain, because I'm sure it is. And absolutely, I do believe that parents who want their children to undergo a transition because that's what their children seem to want, and or because medical experts tell them that's what is good for them, I am sure those parents want what is best for their children and are convinced this is it and want to eliminate or reduce the suffering that their children are experiencing. One of the key things in any sort of social cultural debate, always find the stuff that you should admit because it's right. We get in the habit of, I disagree with this person over this idea, therefore everything they say I'm going to fight against. Everything they say I'm going to disagree with. And that really undermines your credibility. Always acknowledge that when people disagree with you, if they say something that's right, acknowledge the part that's right. At least that's common ground you can agree about. Everybody, I think, should be able to agree that it's awful and painful and difficult to live in a body that you feel is the wrong one. I mean, that's not even controversial, right? That experience has to be terrible.
Regulating the age when a young person can buy a tattoo or drive a car is one thing, but making a decision that fundamental that could affect the life of an individual should be viewed differently.
See, this is an interesting one because, of course, the sort of snarky commentary you see on social media is often, you know, they aren't allowed to decide whether to eat vegetables or not. They're not allowed to decide what bedtime to go. They're not allowed to get a tattoo. They're not allowed to drink alcohol. They're not allowed to drive a car. And yet you're going to allow them to decide major life-shaping decisions about the direction and trajectory of their bodily development and whether they ever are able to naturally have children or not. That's insane. Well, Durbin is addressing that. He doesn't give an argument for why, you know, gender change is something that kids should be allowed to choose when they're not allowed to choose permanent body markings or driving cars. So I would say he's recognizing the challenge. Of course, I would think that that argues against the allowance of minors being able to make these decisions. Continuing on now, Lindsey Graham, and these are just the opening remarks. I'm going to spend a lot of time with this today because there was so much. This is probably the least interesting of it, but it's the way the stage was set. And also, these issues come up, and knowing how to talk about them and being willing to talk about them sort of rationally and logically is just not something we see an awful lot of in our discussions these days. Lindsey Graham.
You'll never convince me that a biological male who swam 3 years on the men's team and transitioned for the senior year, that was fair.
That's the Leah Thomas case. You know, Will Thomas for 3 years swam as a man and then transitioned to a female and then did incredibly well as a female, right? Even winning one national championship, competing against the females. That's the one that Riley Gaines swam against and tied with in a different event. It was, I think, the 500 that Leah won in and the 200, I think, tied with Riley Gaines. So the idea that anybody could be 3 years competing as a male athlete and then with basically no real fundamental biological change, say I'm a woman, change in the women's bathroom, by the way, with no warning to the other athletes, and then just be treated as a woman, he's never going to be persuaded of that. I am also, I don't think, ever going to be persuaded by that. I wouldn't say never, because you never know how your ideas change. But at this moment, I'm definitely not persuaded that that's a fair way to have women compete.
One of the questions is it okay for a state to ban transitions of a minor? And I think it is. I think the state has every interest in protecting minor children and regarding a medical procedure that is life-altering, given the evidence we have about how these procedures work.
And again, that's the question about minors. You know, it's a different thing to say adults who have already gone through puberty, but for minors who have not yet gone through puberty and to shape their hormonal future and therefore their bodily development trajectory in a permanent way that is essentially irreversible because of the developmental changes that happen in puberty, he says, yeah, that's why we're against this. No parent should be allowing this for their child, period, end of story. Last one, and I'll just kind of leave you with this one. This is Harley Walker. Harley Walker is a young, born male, transitioned to female person giving testimony and, you know, very passionate opening statement, several subsequent statements as well. I just want you to hear this one because it's a perspective that you don't hear very often, and I'm going to let Harley say it for the record.
I want all of you to look at me here now and hear my words. I am a very happy 16-year-old girl. I have wonderful friends who accept me for who I fully am, and I am active in my school's debate team and other curricular activities. I love to travel. I enjoy concerts and music like Taylor Swift and listening to my record collection in my room. I get all A's in school and I am looking forward to college. I am not miserable in my life. I am not depressed. I'm just trying to be a teenager in America.
Sounds like a pretty well-adjusted, fairly smart, capable, accomplished, you'd be proud of this person if it were your child. And I play that because that's just, I mean, there's nobody who can dispute that's true. She's telling you her experience. And, okay, you should listen to that. Even if you believe that it wasn't right to allow her to transition, even if you believe that she shouldn't be allowed to compete in male sports, even if you believe that she should be using a bathroom that's a, you know, male bathroom. Okay, again, acknowledge the truth of things that people say that can't really feasibly be disputed. Is she happy as a result of all the things that have happened in her life? Well, unless she's just lying, and she doesn't seem to be lying, it's true. So does that mean that these things should be allowed? Open question. Does it mean that her experience is the same experience as thousands of others? Open question. You know, I mean, just be reasonable in these conversations because there's so much unreasonableness in these conversations. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Experience the freedom of PGT Custom windows and doors with one of our best deals ever. With over 7 million units installed and zero reported impact failures, PGT impact-resistant windows and doors give you confidence in your investment. Now, through July 31st, you can earn $35 off every window and $110 off every door from PGT's WindGuard line of products. Reimagine your lifestyle. Go to pgtwindows.com to learn more. That's the freedom of PGT.
Here at the Almond Joy Factory, where tropical vibes abound, we use soft, fresh-tasting coconut.
The crunchiest almonds and delicious chocolate candy.
Ah, but do you know what our most important ingredient is?
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
Almond Joy's got nuts and something even way better than that. Yes, Almond Joy is made with almonds and joy.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. They have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
News Radio Pensacola, a great blend of information from local government authorities, local news, businesses, and provocative discussions with great hosts.
Do you want to play rough? Okay.
Uno.
Say hello to my little friend.
And look at, here's my claymation. 527 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative.
Dumb
local
video.
80s video. Yeah, they weren't all
great
winners.
Great song, bad video.
A lot of things you know from the early days of MTV that you wish you could unknow. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Unionized UPS drivers warning of an imminent strike. They say it could start as soon as next week. UPS Teamsters are demanding that the delivery company produce its best and final offer to the union by Friday. They had a failed negotiation meeting this week, and union leaders are saying that the strike now appears inevitable. California's Reparations Task Force is planning to release its final report today. The task force apparently is going to recommend reparations be limited to descendants of enslaved or free black people that were in the U.S. by the end of the 1800s. That final report will be released at 9 o'clock this morning, and we're learning a little bit more now about that Chinese spy balloon that got shot down in February. Apparently, it was using U.S.-made technology. Officials say the balloon was equipped with American-made equipment that collected photos, videos, and other information, but apparently it was not actually transmitting that.
What I had heard, I put very little, you know, big reliability on this, but what I had heard is that we were blocking it actively. That the the EMF kind of transmit any of that stuff was being interfered with by American suppressing technology. So, they didn't send anything back to me is not the same as they were not trying to send anything back. But how much of this is going to be told in the public area, I don't know. But that's kind of what I had heard from people who might be in a position to know. David, thanks so much for the update. 529 on News Radio 92.3. Oh. We got our news yesterday about the street sweepers.
I saw that.
We had the three contest winners, as you'll see out there, were, of course, Sweepy McSweepface, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Lightning McQueen. Those were our three winners.
Nice.
That was through the voting, if you recall, from several weeks ago.
But then, somebody does, he put his finger on the scale just a little to add a fourth name, right? Not... Yeah. I mean, he was right. You know, we let the people
sure
pick the
did.
First three, and then we're going to add a fourth one.
He's a strong mayor.
You know, I've taken some executive privilege here in these first 6 months, and we have a fourth street sweeper that we went ahead and named as well, which was Dirt Reynolds. I'm an FSU alumni, and it was too good to pass up. So we kept the sanctity and authenticity of our vote. We said we'd have three, and we were able to add a fourth.
No, it's pretty cool. And they are, you know, can I just be honest? I love what has been done. My problem is I was anticipating full wraps for the street sweepers. Like, I thought the Lightning McQueen was going to be a full red wrap.
It's not?
No, it's basically, it's stickers put on.
It says
it's
my
kind
name
of funny
is
for
Lightning
cars because stickers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's little eyes on the hood. And then for the Dirt Reynolds, there's a Firebird, like on the top of the Firebird.
Does it have a mustache?
No, but that would be hilarious. So they were additions on, not a full wrap.
News. I'm Chris Foster. The Coast Guard says presumed human remains are found in the wreckage of a tourist sub in the North Atlantic.
The agency's Marine Board of Investigation will conduct a formal analysis. The vessel operated by OceanGate Expeditions suffering a catastrophic implosion, killing all five passengers on board during a dive to the Titanic shipwreck.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. Chicago and Washington, D.C. are reported to have the worst air quality in the world. They're considered unhealthy, stretches from Iowa to New York to North Carolina from Canadian wildfire smoke. These guys work outdoors in Brown Deer, Wisconsin.
You know, you could feel it in my chest, and it felt like you smoked a bunch of cigarettes.
Job's got to get done somehow.
A lot of coughing, and I don't usually cough.
A heat wave is spreading in the South and into parts of the Midwest. The Justice Department's asking a federal judge to block a new Florida law restricting property owners by people from certain countries, including China and Russia, calling that law unconstitutional. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 78 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Going to be another dangerously hot day across the panhandle today. The National Weather Service does have an excessive heat warning in effect in Escambia County today, and heat index values up to 114 are expected. And we'll get more on that with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3 in just a couple of minutes. Starting to learn a little bit more about that officer-involved shooting in Cantonment yesterday.
A hit-and-run crash happened at the corner of 9th and Wright Street in Pensacola. Pensacola police were investigating that crash. They developed information that led them to a possible suspect on Durant Lane.
And that's PPD spokesman Mike Wood, who joined Pensacola Right Now last night. And he says as the officer approached, the suspect confronted the officer, and there was a verbal altercation, which soon turned into a physical one. And Mike Wood said then that is when the officer fired his weapon. The officer reportedly suffered minor injuries during the scuffle as well. Both the Escambia Sheriff's Office and FDLE are now helping with that investigation. Governor Ron DeSantis says if he's elected as president, he'll be eliminating four federal agencies to reduce the size of the government. In a recent interview with Fox News, Governor DeSantis said he would close education, commerce, and energy agencies as well as the IRS. He said his goal was to reduce the size and scope of government. And he said if Congress won't go that far, he'll use the agencies to push back against woke ideology. Mayor D.C. Reeves hinting that there could be an increase to the city's stormwater assessment fees in the near future. Questions have been coming up about the city's stormwater infrastructure in the aftermath of that severe weather just a couple of weeks ago.
We don't want to overreact to one thing, or we don't want to overreact to another data point. But the point that I know is, we're supposed to be at $100 and we're at $80, and that was we were supposed to be at $100 2 years ago. So I brought that up last week. Just, you know, I think it's a conversation that we have to start getting serious about, especially when you talk about 12 and a half inches falling here in a matter of 12 hours at City Hall.
And according to the city's website, the cost per equivalent stormwater unit is $72.24 per year. That's been in effect since 2015. And Reeves says while it's something he'd entertain in the future, it's probably too late in the year to consider it for the next fiscal year. Rural communities in Escambia and Santa Rosa County might be eligible to apply for USDA grants following presidentially declared disasters last year. USDA making over $247 million available through supplemental disaster funding. The money can be used to repair damaged water infrastructure and develop resiliency to reduce long-term risks in future disasters. Communities in rural areas with populations of less than 35,000 are eligible to apply. It is 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Another hot and humid day today. Temperatures warming up near 96 degrees. Feeling much warmer in the triple digits. 10% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, staying warm in the 80s. Heat continues for Friday with a high near 96. Small chance of an afternoon shower. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 79 degrees. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. And again, we do have that excessive heat warning today. Already 78 degrees here at 5:30 in the morning. It is 83 in Gulf Breeze and 75 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Have you been thinking about getting fit but don't know where to start? Why not start at Running Wild? Running Wild specializes in fitting every person to the proper shoe, apparel, and training designed for their unique needs. An essential resource to the community on all things fitness related, Running Wild takes pride in serving, teaching, and encouraging customers to reach new goals. Start your fitness journey with the experts at Running Wild in Pensacola and Fairhope. Follow on Facebook or shop online at WeRunWild.com.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Great Milltown Duck Race is Tuesday at the Milton Downtown Bridge starting at 5. Proceeds benefit the community missions of the crew of Blackwater Pirates. Locations to get your ducks is at blackwaterpyrates.com. Celebrate America Tuesday night at the Community Maritime Park Amphitheater with the Pensacola Symphony beginning at 7:30, followed by the Pensacola July 4th fireworks show over the bay. Get all the details at newsradio1620.com.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The company that's trimming the trees on 12th Avenue by Summit, they're doing it. And I know it's not anything from you guys. They have butchered those trees. So I don't know if you can talk to them about it, but they have butchered those trees pretty bad.
Those are the comments by City Council President of the City of Pensacola, Delarian Wiggins, about 2 weeks ago. We've talked about this several times and brought it up with the mayor yesterday, Mayor D.C. Reeves. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So in the meeting at the City Council last time, City Council President Delarian Wiggins made the comment that the trees on 12th Avenue, right there by Marketplace, which is across from the new Sacred Heart facility and kind of where Summit comes in, have been trimmed, but the word he used was butchered. And I drove by there, and I agree with his assessment. It looks horrible, and it kind of goes on that way down towards, like, the almost down to Carpenter Creek. It's not quite as bad in some of those areas, but it's really bad. But my understanding is, you know, FPL, they have the right, they have the power, they have the easement, they do what they want, you know, they hack and chop, and we don't really have a lot of power to push back. But I heard, you know, David Forte is going to meet with them from, you know, your administration. So what leverage, power, persuasion, I mean, how do we prevent this from happening there again or anywhere else like that again?
Yeah, I think if we were to you know, try to improve processes, again, what minimally we can do as a city in terms of what's legally allowed. Obviously, we're notified by FPL when there's going to be cutting, but it's not, we're not getting a limb by limb diagram of exactly how they're going to do it. You know?
Sure, so yeah, that's funny.
Some contractors would be more mindful, more respectful than others. Those aren't contractors necessarily that we have a choice with. We're going to look into this one because I agree with Councilman Wiggins and your assessment on it. It doesn't look good. And, and again, these are things that we ask our citizens to have a certain level of respect and expectation about how they trim or, yeah. or remove trees. And that comes up almost once a week, probably across one of our desks in terms of a removal that shouldn't have happened or an assessment by our arborist. And so it's okay that, we're limited and we understand the premise behind it, obviously providing power with these overhead power lines. But at the end of the day, we should hold people to the same expectation, companies as we do citizens in the best way that we can. So I think how we can improve processes is we're going to have better communication and better checks coming through. And we're going to do an internal assessment about who's doing this work for FPL and make sure that, when we have someone that maybe isn't doing it up to what we expect, that we have a conversation beforehand. So, as you said, I'd love to tell you that there's something we could do. We could stop this or do that. It's part of an agreement that, we don't really, our hands are a little bit tied, but that doesn't mean we're going to just be complacent and accept it looking the way that it looks, especially for the future. So
it seems,
we'll do the best that we can.
Yeah, no, and I know that this is the thing we're upset about right now, but it seems like this might be an opportunity to do a completely different thing. And that is, the real solution here, of course, is undergrounding, right? And of course, the barrier is cost. But look, FPL seems interested in storm resiliency. They well know the cost of responding to storms and, taking care of these things afterwards. They have expressed an interest in undergrounding utilities around the area. And certainly undergrounding utilities seems to me like a great cost savings for the state in terms of storm response. Possibly there might be federal money. It seems like there might be a lot of even insurance money. Like there's a lot of different possible pots of money that could come sure. together. And though what we're, trying to do is protect the trees and the beauty thereof, the B is, and think of all the other great things we can accomplish here. It seems like this would be the time to maybe try to push for something like that more.
Yeah, well, if you're curious, my estimate of what it would cost to underground the city of Pensacola is about $300 million. Now, what's built within that undergrounding cost and how it's estimated by FPL or any other utility is they actually put a credit towards that overall cost because of exactly what you said, to say, well, let's say the city was just going to do it or the county was just going to do it, that they give a credit towards what that cost would be because of exactly what you mentioned, which is, hey, if this goes underground, that's that much less money in repair that we have to do long term, other cost savings in perpetuity that gives a credit. Let's say it's $220 million after that credit. And so it's expensive. And of course, during all those the franchise conversations that, we know that Destin had negotiated some of that. And those are early conversations we're having. We hired a utility attorney to have those conversations with FPL. We're in the very early stages, and we've had conversations about priorities to the city, things that we would want to see if we were to commit ourselves to 30 years. So, we're having those early conversations right now. And, of course, as you can imagine, undergrounding is one of those big pieces is what would be charged for undergrounding and where would those prime
priority areas yeah so no, that makes sense
yeah. So it's a lot. It's a heavy lift, no question about it, but we all know the value that would bring, not only from situations like you're talking about today, which are more day-to-day, but of course when we have any kind of storm or catastrophe.
Right. And by the way, I'm asking this because I want to make sure this doesn't wind up being the thing that we have to, gnash our teeth about after the fact. They understand the tree tunnel at 12th Avenue, right? That's not going to be something that, we're not going to wake up one day and discover that they trimmed those trees and, oh my God, same thing happened there, right?
No. And actually, there's specific, if you get deep into city ordinance and code, there's specific language around those trees. I'm not saying it doesn't exist anywhere in the city, but I've seen it, and not because of this, just okay. for years past. I've seen it, and there's specific language protecting touching or doing anything to those trees. So
that's what I figured. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
Look, I think we need to improve our. At the end of the day, I always look for opportunities for improvement for us, right? And that doesn't mean just because it's easy to say, hey, this is out of our control. This is what FPL is allowed to do.
Right.
But there's probably some steps we can take long term and just procedural to make sure that, that we can be as on top of this and control as much as we can. And I want to be clear, it's not as if FPL is not willing to, you know, they met with us, they,
sure,
they're working with us, they understand. It's not, you know, they're not just walking away and saying we don't care. So, you know, we're going to work with them as best we can and try to figure out better processes.
They forward. Haven't had great success at the PR, let's just say it that way, over the last bit of time. We announced previously that the Rusin government stop signs, those are in now. And I had been talking with you last week about the possibility of the one going in at Jefferson and Government near Seville Square there, where it's only a two-way stop now. You guys have an announcement you're making today?
Yeah, your wish is my command, Andrew. The Government and Jefferson, we will be putting a four-way stop there at the corner, kind of where Seville Quarter in the northeast corner of Plaza Ferdinand is. You'll know this one if you've ever driven downtown, because it's the one where people stop anyway when they don't have the stop signs,
right,
and have been for as long as I remember growing up here. So, look, Government's not meant to be a raceway. I mean, this is downtown traffic with a lot of pedestrian traffic, whether it be government buildings, the courthouse, Plaza Ferdinand, the Seville Quarter. This road is very pedestrian heavy, and we're not trying to design it so someone can get up to 35 or 40 miles an hour over a two-block stretch. So, we looked at Roost. We also looked at Government, and again, data goes into this. We collect and see if it has a need for a lot of reasons. Legal and otherwise, to make sure that it makes sense for us. You know, we can't just go in and put one in. We have to look at what happens to traffic once that four-way stop hits. Where will traffic go now that this exists?
Right.
How will it negatively affect us? So there's a lot that goes into a decision. I know it just sounds like we could go to Lowe's and get some concrete and put a stop sign in, but there's a lot that goes into it. But these two were very much needed when we look at the assessment. So I'm excited for that. I think now there's some clear expectations that you stop there, and I think it's only going to be safe.
No, it'll be. I think this is a good choice. It definitely makes sense there. I know you can't tell me the answer, but I guess today at your press conference, an unusual Wednesday afternoon when you're going to unveil the street sweepers, we're going to get to see them, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's
I'm
right.
Excited.
I appreciate everybody's patience. We didn't want to just announce the names. We wanted to be able to see them. So. They'll be at City Hall today at 1:00. So, bring your camera, and I'll give you one sneak preview, which is we had a win. We had three winners. Of course, we had three street sweepers.
Right.
Well, I took a small bit of executive privilege and then added a fourth.
Interesting plot twist.
So we'll have we already had a fourth sweeper. We just included three. So. So we'll actually have four new names.
Oh, nice. Oh, no, I'm really excited to find all this stuff out. Hey, TSA checkpoint upgrades. If I'm running the TSA, what I decide to do is come do upgrades to the system and improvements right in the middle of the busiest month of the entire year for Pensacola Airport. But now we're going to, with stuff's on pause at least for a little while. Is that right?
Yeah. And, I try to tell people myth bust a little bit and say, if you assume that the city of Pensacola or the Pensacola Airport would like to have technology upgrades at TSA during the middle of the summer, that would be an incorrect assumption. But what I can tell you is how it works is we need to get these things modernized, keeps us safe. Actually, in the end, moves us through faster,
right,
with this new technology, the new equipment. We're kind of strongly suggested about when that's going to happen. And if we don't choose a certain time, we wait and we don't know when that would happen. So we've worked with them. It has been painful. And I sympathize with people and certainly gotten plenty of messages of their frustration at the length of the line. We've been trying to tell everybody get there 2 hours before if you don't have TSA pre-check for sure. And I still would continue to do that. But we've pled with TSA and they've obliged. We are having a delay. We're going to kind of do a step down with some of this equipment through the 4th of July weekend. So we're pausing that. We're keeping what we've got right now. And then we have some more equipment coming on in August. So we should see a little bit of pressure release from really today through the rest of the summer until
Great.
Kids are back in school. So, so we're doing, again, kind of like the first topic. We're doing everything we can within the realm of what we've been given to try to make this as seamless and as painless as possible. So we know how frustrating it is to travel and the inconvenience of traveling and long lines. So totally sympathize with everybody. Uh, but So we are trying to take that little step and do the best we can.
I feel like the job of mayor is a little bit like, you know, being dad in a household. And, you know, the kids that you're not even really responsible for are breaking stuff. And you're like, oh, you know, like, yeah, it's not my fault. What do we do? How do we solve this? All right. We always like to end.
I mean, it'd be like parking in red parking lots. For
example.
You know, I get more emails about that.
That's exactly right.
I have nothing to do with it.
All right, we always like to end with a little bit of a lightning round. First question for you is, in your household, in the Reeves household, do you have specific days of the week, like Spaghetti Monday, Taco Tuesday? Do you have a specific days assigned to specific foods so that you always know, like a cafeteria, what's coming on that day? Do you have any of that?
No. You know, I used, growing up, we would always do some kind of grill out on Sunday. But schedule's too hectic for me to be able to commit to the same thing on the same day, but that's all right.
I got
variety
you.
Is the spice of life.
When DC Reeves has to take a pill or a vitamin or a prescription or whatever, what do you use to wash it down, or do you dry swallow?
Oh my God, no. Yeah, something. You got to have something. Yeah, I mean, preferably not even water. I've got to have something flavored. But
like but a soda or a tea, coffee, beer.
Yeah, I would say some kind of, like, you know, lemonade or soda or something like that. Yeah,
okay.
I have my choice.
And last question. This is the most important question I'm going to ask you all this week. Do you believe that Ryan Seacrest is going to be successful at hosting Wheel of Fortune?
No, because you don't want to follow the guy that's done it for 40 years.
That's true.
I think the demographic of the show, the age of the show, versus Seacrest's demographic is going to be an issue.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I feel like I'm on Entertainment Tonight, but that's exactly how I feel right now. I think that's going to be, you never want to follow the guy, you know? I think that's always going to be a struggle.
Yeah, the loyal 70-year-old fan base may not be so attached to him, and it's not like he's bringing a whole bunch of 40-somethings with him. I think that's the same concern.
Exactly right.
And yeah, you never want to be the first replacement to follow on legend, right? DC Reeves,
right.
Mayor of Pensacola, as always, sir, thanks for the time. We look forward to the press conference today and seeing those cool new street sweepers and their new wraps on them. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. 551 here on News Radio 92.3. And again, we did get the news yesterday that the four street sweepers, the three primary ones were Lightning McLean, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and
Sweepy McSweetface,
and then Dirt Reynolds.
Those are the best.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And I think when we were talking about this a month or two ago, when I was going through all the names that got listed, I think these were the ones that we picked, at least the top three. I think we're in our, like, these ones are almost certainly going to be the picked ones, right?
Absolutely. So. They should make T-shirts to go with it. Maybe they could raise money for something.
Oh, yeah.
I want a Dirt Reynolds T-shirt.
Team Dirt Reynolds.
That's right.
Sweepy McSweepface or Team Lightning McQueen.
Do you think people are going to do the wave when they see it? Dirt Reynolds or Sweepy McSweepface.
I feel like we all got part of the... Okay, hear me out. I feel like this could be the basis of one of those, you know, in Major League Baseball, they have the sausage races in Milwaukee
or the
president's races in Washington. You could have the street sweeper races at Wahoo's games.
That's great. I don't want to do that.
No.
Because it will lose. But I want somebody else to do it.
But no, that could be the, you know, these are the four identities of the racing competitors at the Wahoo's games,
great.
Right?
Yes.
Honestly, what about the Zamboni for the Ice Flyers? Seems like a natural, just something to keep in mind. Anyway, I'm always liking to expand the brand if we can. 553 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, and I know a lot of times we talk about the selling part because Christina Leavenworth is great at selling homes, but I really, like, if I could kind of go back in my own past and, you know, even though it was in, you know, St. Louis when we bought our first house and not here, but, you know, if I could have a Christina Leavenworth working for me, oh my God, like, what a dream come true. Because, you know, when you're buying your first home, like when you're first thinking about moving from renting into owning, even if it's from an apartment or from a house, whatever, it's scary. You don't know anything. And you don't know enough to even ask the right questions, right? Like, you really know nothing. And so having somebody like her to kind of hold your hand and walk you through and be like, and to help you with the professional judgment, like, that's a really good price for that house. We can do better on that one. No, don't buy that house. That's a bad idea. You're not going to be happy with that. You know, that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, she'll give you great advice. And so, and also because she sees the world through the seller's perspective, she will know how to navigate and negotiate with the sellers in order to get you the very best deal possible on buying a home. So whether you're buying or selling, she's a fantastic resource. Give her a call and find out what input she's got for you. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Summer season is here, and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
This 4th of July, News Radio Pensacola is carrying the Pensacola Symphony Sparks and Stars, presented by Peter Mujay. Thanks to our broadcast sponsor, Fishbine Orthodontics.
To all my love slaves out there, Thunder Lips is here, in the flesh, baby.
Man, can I just tell you this? I was listening just yesterday. I was going back and listening to both License to Ill and also, what's the second one? All of a sudden, I can't think of it.
It's not Paul's Boutique.
Yeah, Paul's Boutique. Is it Paul's Boutique? Yeah, Paul's Boutique. These are fantastic albums.
Aren't they
I had
great?
Forgotten how good
I
they are.
I love License to Ill the whole way through. Man. Girls, everything.
And it's not necessarily because of their great skill as rappers. It's the music is fantastic.
It is. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Rick Rubin
and iconic
it.
And, you know, there's no other song like that. You know, that kind of song.
I got into it with the Beastie Boys once. I'll tell you off air.
Why does that not surprise me?
Well, dude, I mean, they were just, we don't want to do anything with a corporate station. It's like, you guys opened for Madonna on her Like a Virgin tour, so get over your bad selves. There's my Beastie Boys story.
That's like reminding Post Malone of what he looked like and sounded like before he was Post Malone. You ever seen any of the old YouTube videos of his performances beforehand?
Did he look normal?
Well, I mean, normal would be a compliment, but yeah, it was very normal, very bland, boring, very like, what? you know, what?
Yeah, it's weird. When you see Papa Roach, same way.
Although,
nice guys.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has been hacked. The hackers got access to data by exploiting software used by third-party vendors. Officials say records for more than 15 million people could be compromised. And Domingo Germán pitched the 24th perfect game in Major League Baseball history yesterday. That happened as the Yankees shut out the Oakland A's 11-0, and the last perfect game was back in 2012 by Felix Hernandez.
That's,
I thought you weren't supposed to mention it. Oh,
no, when it's over, it's okay. When it's over, it's okay.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. It's been 12 years since we had a perfect game, and there are so many that come close. You know, so many that get to the ninth inning, right? Even pitching a no-hitter is really, really rare. Not quite that rare, obviously, but, and I remember, was it Galarraga? I want to say it was the one who he pitched 26 outs, and then Jim Joyce at first base missed the out call before we had review. So the runner was out, and he called him safe, blew the perfect game. before there was any kind of, you know, review. And so he doesn't get credit for a perfect game, even though he did pitch one. That's actually the game that led to there being review in baseball, was because of that blown call.
The big brain on Andrew.
No, not me, them. I mean, that is an amazing accomplishment. I mean, that really is an amazing, because there are so many little things that have to all go right. For nobody to drop a ball, for everybody to be in the right place to catch it, for, you know, no walks, no errors. I mean, like, all of that has to happen just right.